to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from the edge of the great city Babylon, I bid you peace, and I welcome you to another session where we will talk about our journey. And from my location, I must report that the sound of odd music can be heard in the shadows of the dimming sky. And it is not the sound of celebration, nor is it even a large orchestra. It is a solitary instrument playing a soulful melody, one note at a time. And the musician? He is an elderly gentleman, the groundskeeper of the village chapel, the sexton. And why is he making music? Well, he was painting the chapel walls, but then he heard some news. And when he heard it, he knew what he had to do. So he laid down his brush, and he limped to another part of the chapel court. And as he walked, he began to be overcome with emotion. He tried to be strong, but he could not, and he began to weep. But still, he limped along until finally he was there. He arrived in a tall room, and he stared at a long tethered rope hanging from above. And with tears in his eyes, he grabbed it, and he pulled. He pulled the rope with all of his strength to give the village the ringing of a bell. And this bell is crying in a soulful lament. This bell has the sound of sorrow, a soul bell that is mourning, and its ring is letting the villagers know that another one has died. And with each tug on the bell, the people gathered. They watched and they listened. And as the bell continued and revealed a sad carol, they wondered who had entered the grave. Who was it? Was it an elderly gentleman? Was it an angelic child? Was it a heroic soldier? No. It was worse. Much, much worse. The bell tolled for all of the people. For their nation had died, and their beloved homeland was to be taken away by the eager reaper. And this reaper is a heartless merchant who would also take away many of the villagers sooner than they anticipated. Sorrow had arrived. It arrived on a day they did not expect. It arrived on a late afternoon when the sun was shining and the birds were singing. And with old tired hands, the old man pulled, and the bell tolled. The village was dying. The bell tolled. The nation is dying. And as the bell tolls, for many people, their divine appointment draws near. And my friends, when the bell tolls, this watchman sounds an alarm. When the bell tolls, this watchman runs to his chamber and sends up a supplication to God. When the bell tolls, we should all be stirred. We should all be seeking. We should all be crying out to the God above. Folks, the bell is now tolling. It is ringing. It is crying out. It is lamenting a solemn ballad. And it rings a voice of mourning. It is shouting with a voice of great warning. And its echo is carried as a song in the night. And I wonder, whose ears are open to its cry? A cry that says, the time has arrived. The shaking is upon us. The great travail of the earth trembles beneath all of our feet. It is time for us to discern that the day is at hand. The visitation of Almighty God is arriving. And I pray that you can know that it is time to respond to these signs from our God. It is time to realize, to awaken from a spiritual stupor. There is only one place to hide from the wind. It is only in the shadow of Almighty God. It is only by dwelling there, by hiding there, by abiding there,
The heavenly calendar has been confirmed, and mighty and terrible events are coming to a city near you, no matter where you are on this planet. This earth has a divine appointment. My friends, I am trying my best, with the help of God, with the Holy Spirit, to explain about the present economy, about this depression, coming events, about earth changes, and how to get your heart right with God. And there are many messages that need to be heard. The website is watchmanscry.com, and you can go there for more audio messages to hear what's going on. So please go there and listen to the other ones. Folks, I invite you to download them, and please share them with as many people as you can. The clock is ticking. The midnight hour is upon us. We're running out of time, folks. I also want to add that if you appreciate these messages, please ask God about supporting this ministry. Folks, I don't know how long the internet, as we know it, is going to exist. I'm really concerned that the internet's going to be going out. It's going to be going down, and Obama's going to be pulling the plug on it. There's already a bill in Congress about him being able to pull the plug on the internet in the event of an emergency. So I want to also say this real quick. I want to be able to contact you when the internet goes down. I want to be able to send my sermons out on CD, also a newsletter. So please, folks, don't put it off. Some of you have thought about it, but you haven't done it. Go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and send me your physical address so that we can maintain communication. You need to be able to have a lifeline, and I want to still be able to contact you, so please do that. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856, or you can go to our website, and there's a link there where you can contact us. In the remainder of this audio, I have a very sobering message that I want to share with you. We are living right now in very, very unsettled times. The days are very evil. The days are very perilous. And every one of you listening needs to be awake. You need to be aware, and you need to have a plan. We're witnessing right now the beginning of the coming narrative that I've been talking about for several years. They're happening now, folks. Now, whether or not a person believes that they're going to happen, they're still happening. It's not going to be stopped by denial. These things are still occurring till they reach the apex of their fulfillment. So here's the million-dollar question, which pretty soon won't buy much. So let me rephrase that. Here's the billion-dollar question. What are you doing to prepare? Are you preparing? Folks, it's coming, so get ready. Get out of debt. Get a used car that's paid off. Seek God about relocating. And it's biblical to talk about preparation, folks. So to do these things, a person needs to quit procrastinating and do them. So here's the question, the billion-dollar question. Have you done that? And if not, why not? Are you still waiting around to see if I'm right? My friends, when the ash of a volcano is floating in the sky and it's coming to your town, it's too late to fast and pray. At that point, all that you can do is try to save yourself and hide. I have spoke of having some extra food. And you know, folks, after that cloud went over Europe from the Icelandic volcano, it was reported on the news that many stores ran out of food very quickly. What if that ash cloud was over your town? How long could you last? You know, my friends, two TV dinners and half a box of cereal is not going to cut it. And by the way, folks, please spare me the theatrics if you want to tell me I'm not going to worry about it because God's going to make food appear miraculously in front of me. Now, if you are full of God and you're full of faith and you are poor and you're not able to get food in advance, that's one thing. God could do that. But if you're an average person with resources but you're too lazy to be responsible, you may find yourself a statistic. And by the way, if you have family depending on you, don't have foolish presumption at their expense. Proverbs tells us to gather while we have the time to gather. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there's a time to plant and to harvest, and also a time to gather. So please, my friends, be wise. Quit procrastinating. Quit blowing your money on things that are increasing your debt and on things that you cannot afford. My friends, I'm sorry that I'm sounding so blunt, but possibly you need to be challenged, and also we are running out of time. But back to what I was saying. We are beginning to see the narrative that so many of God's messengers have been warning about. And we're just getting started, folks. It's just beginning. But if we were to take a second inventory of all recent events, we would see that they cover a wide gamut of many categories. We have economic collapse approaching us like a runaway train. And not just in America, Europe is teetering over a cliff as well. Right now, Greece, Iceland, Spain, Portugal, they all have sovereign debt problems about to explode. For some of them, it already happened. And then we have England about to join them with a sovereign debt problem. And following close behind is America with our debt. The dollar's going to crash, my friends. I believe that the wheels are going to be placed in motion for this occurrence by the end of the summer. Argentina is having money problems. And they just stole all of their citizens' retirement and pensions. This was just a few weeks ago. The citizens' life savings are gone. Just like that. And the Argentines are livid. Economic collapse is happening all over the world. And it's not going to be stopped. This depression is just taking a little snooze, but it's going to come back with a vengeance. And aside from the depression, we are also facing tyranny here in America. And by the way, side note, if you're taking notes, America is spelled with a K now because it's turning into a tyrannical police state, just like Soviet Russia. But in addition to tyrannical legislation and fascism that has taken over America, here's my prediction of what we are also facing. Now, this is not prophetic. This is just my prediction. This is Nathan thinking out loud. We're also dealing with World War III around the corner. A global war, folks. We have Israel about to bomb Iran any day now, which is going to start World War III. And when this happens, it's going to spread throughout the Middle East. Now, here's the question. Is America going to defend Israel? Or are we going to sit back and watch them get attacked? Are we going to join in? But in addition to them, when Israel attacks Iran, Iran is an observing member of the Shanghai Treaty, which includes Russia and China, which is similar to the NATO treaty. And if Iran gets attacked, Russia and China are going to help them. They're going to defend Iran. So this is World War III waiting to happen. In addition to them, other Muslim countries are going to join in. Some will be on Iran's side. Some possibly may be on our side, like Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. I guess we'll find out. In addition to those wars, the United States will also be entering Pakistan for more war. And then we're going to have North and South Korea fighting each other. They're going to go at it. North Korea just recently sunk one of South Korea's ships. And then over here on our side of the world, we have in South America and Venezuela, Cesar Chavez making threats to his neighbors. And I believe, folks, that when North and South Korea start fighting, and when Iran and Israel start fighting, and when we enter that war, Chavez is going to invade Colombia. So then we're going to have to defend them. So we're going to be having several theaters of war at once. It's going to get very, very nasty very, very quickly. In addition to that, I see America going into Africa, invading Somalia and other African countries. It's going to be brutal, ugly, and gasoline is going to be $10 a gallon at the pump. Food's going to be rationed, so say hello to famine when all these events begin. And on top of that, yes, that's right, folks, I'm not finished yet. On top of that, we have earth changes coming. We have the sun acting weird. You know, there's no denying it, folks. Several programs ago, I did a show with Benjamin Baruch, which talked about the coming scorching of the sun, massive solar flares, a pole shift. Well, I find it interesting that about 2 weeks after that program, this planet began to shake, rattle, and roll. Now, is that a coincidence? I don't know. But we have earth changes that are coming, folks. The whatchamacallit Joe Cool Icelandic volcano erupted recently, which, by the way, I cannot pronounce, so that's Nathan's pronunciation for it. But that volcano erupted recently, and it stopped air travel for a week in Europe, stranding millions and millions of people. When that happened, the financial toll to the airlines was about $200 million a day. And then you add to that the business that was interrupted, and the financial cost from this volcano was in the billions of dollars. Now, on top of that, folks, there is another Icelandic volcano which historically has erupted along with the first one. They're 12 miles apart. The other volcano has a name called Katla, and scientists are concerned about Katla blowing its top because historically When Katla goes, it's usually 10 times more powerful than the first one. Now, if that first one disrupted air travel in Europe for 1 week, what is Katla going to do when it goes, if it goes? There are some scientists and experts that are worried that if it does erupt, Katla could essentially disrupt air travel for weeks, if not months, for airlines all around the world. Now, if this were to happen, this would effectively bankrupt the airlines. And it could also cause a chain reaction in the markets. So, in conclusion, my friends, we are all living in very, very perilous times. And right now, no one can afford to be playing games with their spiritual providence. And that includes you. Those of us that are wise should be seeking God for wisdom on what we need to be doing. And by the way, please know this. No human being is immune from what's coming. If you happen to be wealthy or famous, if you're a celebrity, if you're a politician, the playing field has been equalized. So your only remedy is mercy from Almighty God. So I say that for the record. Also, if you happen to be an atheist who has doubts about God's mercy, let me say this. Please reevaluate your theology or lack thereof, because only Jesus can help you, my friend. Folks, God looks down from heaven at the children of men, and He responds to the humble ones, those that call out to Him. But at the same time, those that are self-determined or self-confident are going to be on their own. So please, to all of you that may have earthly credentials of fame or fortune, this thing that we face is bigger than your bank account, and it is terrifying. And since it is terrifying, you don't need to be following the wrong advice. Because, folks, there is wrong advice out there. There's false advice out there. There are counterfeit voices out there, and there is bad counsel out there on what to do. Example, the New Agers that are out there, they believe that doom is coming as well, but their remedy is a little bit different from our remedy. So, folks, it is of utmost importance that you're listening to good counsel. And this is what I want to talk about right now. I want to talk about right and wrong counsel. My friends, God wants all of us to be ready and prepared. He wants you to be ready and prepared, not only with practical matters, but with spiritual matters. To ignore this area is to build your house in vain. Now, I know that many, many of you are seeking for answers. I know this because you email me and you ask me questions, trying to make plans on what to do. And I understand that you have a lot of questions. Some of the questions that you have are, do I move? Should I downsize? Relocate? Some of you have asked if you should forsake your obligations. Should you change churches? Change friends? There's a lot of questions, and it's wise to ask questions. In fact, if you're smart and you're awake, I hope that you ask questions. I hope that you are asking a lot of questions, because if you're not, then either you have already received your answer, or worse, you're still asleep. Now, if you might be listening to me and you have a lot of doubts, I want to say this, my friend. The clock is ticking. Midnight is approaching. When it arrives, the bells will toll. The next phase is going to arrive to this planet. And it's not going to be pretty. Great and mighty terrors are approaching. Waiting till the last minute will leave you unprepared. Unfortunately, I know this sounds blunt, but many people who are unprepared are going to perish. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about what's coming in this message, but suffice it to say, in the months and years ahead, this earth is going to be slammed with catastrophe and sorrow and many tears. So, here's the question. What do I do? Well, today I want to address the foundation of what to do. I'm also going to talk about what not to do or what you should stop doing. So I ask you to get your Bibles, follow along, take a lot of notes, folks. Now, I want to say up front, in this message, I'm going to say some pretty challenging things, but I ask that you please hear what I'm going to say, and if I say some things that step on your toes, please write them down and take the matter to prayer, and you ask God if they apply to you. If they don't, then fine. Don't pay attention to what I said. But before you write me hate mail, please pray about it, folks. That's all I ask. Now, should you be concerned with what's going on right now? Some people may say, nah, how bad could it get? It hasn't happened yet, Nathan. I've been hearing these warnings for years. I'll worry about it when it does happen.
If you happen to be thinking that way, I'm not worried about it.
Please let it be because you have done everything that you're supposed to do, because you are already prepared. You've done all your homework. You're out of debt. You've already prayed and prayed and prayed for your family. Now let's look at what's going on right now. The United States of America is in a transition. And in this transition, one of two things is going to happen. Number one, it's going to lose superpower status and go quietly into the wind and become second world. And then someone else in the world is going to take its place. Or, number two, the United States is going to lose its financial place in the world, but it's going to dig its claws into the earth and say, I'm not weak, when it really is. And it's going to say, I'll just enforce my strength with the barrel of a gun. Now, if that happens, here's the result. A new phase of America is coming to this planet. A new phase of America with tyranny and an iron curtain is coming to this planet. In this new phase, America is going to say to its citizens, where do you think you're going? You can't leave. You are our property. And as I look at the direction this country's headed, this is what I see coming right now, folks. Right now, as I speak, America is echoing a disturbing similarity of Hitler's Germany in the early 1930s. Obamacare has been passed, and by 2014, that's just about 3.5 years away, a huge tax burden is going to be placed on every American citizen and business. By then, I also expect to see cap and trade passed, which is going to be more tax, and it's going to destroy the remaining capitalism that's here in this country. On top of that, we have, here's the new word, the VAT tax, which stands for value added tax, basically a sales tax for the entire country. And they're talking about it already. Obama has already said that it's a good idea. And his voices from the White House have already thrown that information out for the public to consume so that we can start hearing about it. Here's the number that they're considering. A sales tax of 20% on everything, folks. And then on top of that, Obama has signed new legislation and a new law which limits how much U.S. citizens can have in offshore bank accounts. This is basically capital controls. And this is what an Iron Curtain country will do. This is what a tyrannical country will do to limit the ability of its citizens to move away and to have money waiting for them when they leave. Folks, the noose is tightening here in America. So here's the question. And I really want you to think about this, folks. In 2 or 3 years, are we going to look back at 2010, where we are right now, and are we going to say, why in the world did I stay in the United States? Are we going to say to ourselves, why didn't I leave when I had the chance? And in 2 or 3 years, or a little later, 2014, 2015, are we going to be wishing that we were out of the country? Those are radical questions, folks. Most Americans would never, ever think that they would ever have to wonder about that. But it's happened before throughout history. Empires come and they go, they rise and they fall, and on their way down, there's a lot of refugees. Or very tyrannical empires rise up, and while they are rising or transitioning into a tyrannical empire, the citizens become refugees and leave. Is that what is in store for us in our future, folks? And it's because of questions like that that every one of us need to have the mind of God. We need to have good counsel. We cannot be following fear or confusion or every whim or false advice or popular trend that's on the internet. We need the mind of God for our life. You need the mind of God. You need to hear from Him. But before you can hear from Him, possibly there's a lot of clutter in your mind. In your ears, when you try to listen to Him, there's clutter. You can't hear anything because there's already too much confusion. Your spiritual mind is clogged and it's hard to hear the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in this message. Now, some people may be saying, well, in 2 years, Obama's going to be gone, so I'm not worried about it. The bad laws he passed, the new guy that comes in or the new gal, whoever it is, will just get rid of those laws. Now, my answer to that statement is, really? Are you sure about that? I want to remind you of Obama's opponent in the presidential race, the Republican, Mr. John McCain. Now, in the mind of some, with those that have dementia, even right now, and the Christians that listen to Rush Limbaugh, who are saying the new election is going to come and the Republicans are going to save everything. They're going to save the day and get us back to where we should have been. Here's a bit of news for you. Mr. John McCain recently introduced a bill to require every citizen to get a national ID card with a biometric signature. That's his bill, folks. So the Republicans and the Democrats are both the same, my friends. I've even heard rumors that Texas Governor Rick Perry, who's a Republican, may run in 2012, and a lot of people get excited. Oh, yay, he's going to save us. But here's something that you may not know. In the year 2008, before the presidential election, Mr. Perry went to the Bilderberg Group meeting. He was there. Why was he there? Most of the time, governors who go to these meetings end up running for president. So, for all we know, he's the next puppet to take the New World Order baton from Obama. Do not be deceived. This New World Order beast is rising up, and it's not going to be stopped. So, my friends, as the days become more ominous to those that are his, which is many of you that are listening, I hope, I want you to be able to endure with strength, with the strength of God, just like Psalms chapter 1, verse 3 says. And in that passage it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth fruit." The people of God have to have the strength. And my friends, I want you to know this. You might not think that you're strong enough to make it. You might not think that you have what it takes, but I want you to know that you can. Because the people of God can have the strength to be oaks of righteousness, standing firm, standing tall on good ground. And that's my prayer for you. For those of you that are His, that is my prayer. I want to see you strong. I want to see you enduring. I want to see you full of faith, no matter what happens to the very end. And when I pray for these messages, the Holy Spirit makes it very clear that this is what He wants for you. But it's not automatic. It doesn't just happen while you're asleep. It takes work, my friends. So here's the bottom line, folks. With the perilous times that are coming upon this world, there are going to be some people who do make it and some people who do not make it. Not everyone is going to survive and endure. So, as the remnant of God, we need to do everything we can to find out the whole truth about how we can make it and also how you can help your family to make it. So, to talk about this, I want to share a passage of Scripture, and please get your Bibles and read along with me. This is a very pertinent passage of Scripture, so please get it. Also get your notepad, your pen and paper, and take a lot of notes, folks. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Please turn there, folks. Isaiah chapter 30. And we're going to look at some very powerful and revealing and enlightening passages of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 30. Are you turning there? Are you there? Now, as I was praying over the last several days, I was seeking God, and this is what He wanted me to share with you, these passages, and I was asking Him for insight, and I took a lot of notes when I was praying. So I want to share that information with you. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, I'm going to read several passages, and then we're going to go back, and line by line, we're going to examine them and look at them. So starting in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 1, and I'm reading from the King James Version. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Verse 2, "that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion." Now, move down to verse 7, and I'm going to read from there. Verse 7, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." Verse 8, "Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." Verse 9, "that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay therein, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant. Now, this entire chapter, Isaiah chapter 30, is very powerful. Now, what this chapter initially was a prophecy by Isaiah to the children and the people of God, because they were about to be invaded by the Assyrians and the Israelites wanted to go back and get Egypt to help them. But the principle behind this passage applies to us. After you have heard this message, I want to challenge you to read the entire chapter. Please don't do it right now, though, because I'm talking. There is a great influence that is occurring right now in the church amongst the people of God. And the influence that is happening is a false influence. It is a counterfeit influence. And this is the message that God has for the hour. So let's go back to verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 30. And I want to bring your attention to the very first word of verse 1. Look what it says there, folks. Woe. W-O-E. Woe. This word is not a good word when it is pronounced upon a people. If God says the word woe to your situation, to your life, you are in dire straits. We need to have the mercy of God, not the woe of God. Now, as we're reading this passage, folks, please keep in mind and ask the question to yourself, is this me? Ask the question, am I doing this? Ask the question, is this happening in my life? Ask the question, am I involved in this? Ask the question, am I participating in any of these elements? Because if you are, then readjustments need to be made. Because the very first word of this verse says, woe. To who? Who's it talking about? Woe to the people that are hiding in God? Woe to the people that are praying without ceasing? No. It says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. To the rebellious ones. Now, what is a rebellious child? That's easy. A person that's rebellious says, my way, not God's way. A rebellious person says, it's my way, not the way of authority, and not according to the rules. My way. And in this passage right here, how does one become rebellious? Why is God calling them rebellious? Do you have to take a class to learn how to be rebellious? Do you have to go online and read some articles and really try to learn it? No. We are already rebellious in our human nature, folks. But as the children of God, we have to learn to be obedient to Him. You are either doing what the Bible says or you are not. And it's real easy for a person to say, I'm not rebellious. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. Well, it's easy to say that we're Christians and we believe in God, but what is the yardstick? Well, hold this spot right here in Isaiah 30, and please turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and look what it says right there. Matthew 7, 21. By the way, most of you already know this verse. Are you there? Okay, look what it says. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then look at the second part of that verse. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, a lot of times we hear people quote that verse, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter. And we hear the explanation, what that means is, just because they said, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean that they're saved. It doesn't mean that they really did the sinner's prayer with sincerity. But as we look at this passage right here, folks, that's not what it's talking about. It goes deeper than the quote-unquote sinner's prayer, the conversion prayer, or calling out to God to be born again. Because the second part says, he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So according to this passage of Scripture right here, if a person is not doing the will of the Father, then they can say they're Christians all day long, or they can go to church all day long, but if they're not doing the Father's will, then they're in trouble. They're a rebellious one. Confession means nothing, folks, unless you're doing the Father's will. Here's the question. Are you doing the Father's will? That's a good question, isn't it? Now, go down a few more verses and go to verse 24 and look what it says right there. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rains came, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat down on the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, there it is again, folks, you have to do them, shall not be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So according to this passage right here, folks, building a house on the rock seems to also be quoted a lot. I built my house on the rock. I'm a Christian. My foot is on Christ, the rock. It's not on sand. Folks, you need to be on the rock and not on sand. I hear preachers say that over and over and over, but they leave out this very important part. You got to also do what Jesus says. Therefore, here's the yardstick, folks. He that does the words of Jesus is an obedient child. And also, the opposite applies. He that does not do the words of Jesus is a rebellious child. Very simple, folks. Either we are doing it or we're not. Now, I want to give a warning right now. I'm going to be giving an admonition and charging all of you that are listening with a very, very challenging word. But it needs to be said because we want to survive. We want to endure. We want to make it, and we want to be in the right side of God when these things happen. I'm not going to pretend with you. I'm not going to tickle your ears like you can find on God TV or TBN or those other satellite networks that say they're giving the Word of God, but they're playing games and not telling you the truth. We need to hear the truth of God in this late hour. So, according to Isaiah 30, it says, woe to the rebellious ones. Folks, you cannot afford to be rebellious. You cannot afford not to be following the Word of God. And here's what rebellious people do. Woe to the rebellious children. I'm reading from verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. Now stop there. Rebellious people take counsel that's not from the Lord. So if a person takes counsel that's not from God, that means it's ungodly counsel. If a person takes advice from someone or counsel that's not from God, that means it's not biblical. That means it's not scriptural. So a rebellious person takes advice on life that is unscriptural. In other words, friends telling friends to do it how they want to do it. People encouraging each other to have affairs, to get divorced, to have abortions. And those are some of the obvious things that unbiblical, unsound counsel would point toward. But how about this? Friends advising friends to participate in things that they should not do. Or let's take it even further. And let's put aside the obvious sins. Let's look at people who go to church and the unsound counsel that they might be giving each other. How about people encouraging each other to do things that they did not pray about? How about friends encouraging friends to make a major decision without praying about it, without encouraging them to wait on God for confirmation? So my friends, if you take advice from somebody, but it's not the same advice that the Holy Spirit would give you, then you're being rebellious. So how do you know it's from God? It has to match up with the Bible. It cannot go against the Bible. It cannot contradict the principles that are found in the Scriptures. And it also has to bear witness with the Holy Spirit. And that happens by praying. If you are a born-again Christian, and you have repented, and you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and from that point on, you need to be praying about everything that you do that's important in your life. So in the days that are ahead, folks, every one of us are going to be doing a lot of heavy duty decision making. You need to decide what you're going to do in your future. Are you going to move? Are you going to keep your job? Are you going to cash in that 401k and buy an RV and go somewhere else? Are you going to move in with your family? Are you going to have family members move in with you? Are you going to relocate? Are you going to liquidate? Should you do those things? Should you consider becoming an expatriate and living the United States? Or moving to a different country if you're not an American? A lot of questions need to be asked in this late hour. But my friends, please do not just on a whim make some decisions and do them without getting the confirmation from the Holy Spirit, from God. That is very, very dangerous to do that. If a friend gives you advice, God has to bear witness with it. The Holy Spirit needs to bear witness with it. Otherwise, you are being rebellious if you do not include him in your plans. God has a plan for you. He had a plan for you before you were born. He knew all this was going to be happening. He knew that doom would be around the corner at this time in your life. He knew what you would be facing. If you're unemployed, you're losing your car, you're losing your house. God knew those things were going to be happening. It is not surprising to him. And he has a great remedy for you. He wants to hold your hand so that you can do it together. His grace is sufficient, but you have to include him in your plans. So my friends, that is why we cannot be denying what's going on in this world right now. Because to deny it means we're going to ignore the planning. You will ignore your path if you're in denial. And then, when it shows up all of a sudden, if the volcano cloud shows up over your house, you will have 2 seconds to make a plan. And when you're running for your life, that's not very good planning. So it is wise to do all of these things in advance, folks. I prayed about this, and this is what God wanted me to share. He wants His remnant to be wise in every step they make. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will keep your path straight. So moving on. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And here's the next part. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. That cover with a covering. What does that mean? That means to join into fellowship with other groups, with other people, with other individuals, with other organizations, spiritual or otherwise, that are not of God. Now, this could be anything, folks. This could include fraternal, political, grassroots, secret organizations, patriotic organizations, or spiritual organizations. Now, how many Christians out there are involved in movements that sound good, but have no spirit of God as a covering? I ask you that, folks. Every one of you, please be honest. Are you involved in something, in a movement, that God is not in charge of, that God has not covered, that God did not give you permission to be a part of? Folks, again, the purpose of this message is to show you who will be protected and who will not be protected. Please don't get mad at me for sharing God's word. Now, if I mention something that strikes a nerve, please, please pray about it and ask God, folks. That's what this verse is about. Rebellious ones with self-determination, self-reliance, and self-confidence, and those that do not want to be questioned by other Christians, who do not want to be challenged by other Christians. I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to live. Leave me alone. That's rebellion, folks. And in these days, we all need to shift our way of thinking. We need to shift our lifestyle and our fundamental commitments away from this world, and we need to focus more towards God, because time is running out, my friends. The clock is ticking. The verse goes on. Coverings not of God. Now, I'm going to mention some groups right here that may or may not apply to you, but if they're occupying your time and energy, please think about what I'm going to say and please pray about it. Number one, patriotic groups. Political groups.
Nathan, patriotic groups are good. We fight for the Constitution and for freedom. The Constitution's a Christian document, so I'm part of something Christian.
Now, folks, I'm not saying that the group that you're part of is good or bad. I'm just asking this question out loud. But if they are bad, you would know it. Now, again, here's the question. Are those groups bad? It's a hard question. And on paper, no. Being part of a patriotic group is not bad. But here's the next question. Do they use up all of your time and energy? Do they rob you of your time away from spiritual pursuits? Be honest, folks. Only you can answer that. Do these groups cause you to have a tarnished heart away from God? Now, I know, based on what's going on right now in the world, and based on what's going on in America, in the days ahead, patriotic groups are going to get stronger. And eventually, some of them are going to turn violent. Now, I know that there's a difference between patriot and militia. Most patriots are peaceful, and also most militia groups are peaceful. But folks, in the future, I do see and I do believe that it's going to get very, very ugly and violent. These groups are going to be finding themselves fighting the New World Order. So folks, this is the warning that I want to give to you. Please be very, very careful who you align yourself with. There is a Spirit of God that you should be full of, but also there's a Spirit of Barnabas. Hello? The Spirit of Barnabas wants to do it by himself. The Spirit of Barnabas is very zealous. The Spirit of Barnabas is very driven and has passion. And sometimes the Spirit of Barnabas forgets that first off, people should be pilgrims on this world and realize that this world is temporary and realize that living for God is more important than anything. Now, folks, the New World Order beast is not going to be stopped. The New World Order is the will of God. Therefore, patriotic groups are not going to be able to stop it from happening. Now, God's going to use the vexation of the beast to purge his children and to purify them. So if you are involved in a patriotic group or a militia group, it's going to take some prayer and soul searching to decide what you should do. I'm offering wisdom right here, folks. Just because it's popular and it seems tough and fun does not mean necessarily that you should be participating in this thing. Now, I also know this. I know what the Bible says. And in the book of Revelation, it says that some people are going to go into captivity, but it also says that some people are going to fight with the sword. Now, the ones that are going to fight with the sword, I believe what it's talking about are patriotic groups who don't like the beast and are freedom fighters. So that's a prophecy. I know what's going to happen. So there's going to be both groups. Now, if you really feel that you're called to be one of those that fights the New World Order or the beast and fulfill that prophecy, if that's really, really you, I'm not going to argue with you. If you have the Holy Spirit telling you that, then God bless you and I wish you well. Because I also know that God does create warriors. God does create people for such a time as this. That's why America is the free country that we are, because God did raise up warriors at the right time. But what I'm also trying to tell you is, if it's not your calling to be a warrior, then you shouldn't be a warrior. And I'm not saying worrier, I'm saying a warrior with an A. The Bible also says that there are going to be some that flee and hide. The Bible also says that there are going to be some that are protected by him. So there are many destinies in the end times. Captivity, freedom fighters, people that flee, people that hide, people that are protected. And we also have the powerful, anointed, sealed ones who are going to do some mighty deeds. And then we have the two witnesses that are really going to do some mighty deeds. So all over the map, we have different individuals. But my friends, whatever your destiny is, please make sure that the Holy Spirit showed you that it is your destiny. And don't just follow along in your own imagination. Because if you follow your own imagination when it's not the will of God, according to the verse we just read in Isaiah, woe to the rebellious ones that make plans without God, without those that make counsel without God, those that are in a covering without God. Folks, this is serious. So please make sure, folks. And if you are going to be in a patriot group and you consider yourself the remnant, then your group needs to have the covering of God. It can't be run by a bunch of pirates and bikers and ex-convicts who only talk about God in some prayer that they do when they first start off. And then after that, they're just acting like pirates. You don't want to be a part of something like that. Because if God's not covering it, then you're not covered. And if you're not covered, woe unto you. Look at the next part, folks. Verse 1. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Again, folks, whatever you participate in needs the confirmation of God's spirit. Meaning you prayed about it and he gave you his okay. Now, when he approves something, you're going to have his peace in your heart. If you can't find the peace of God right now and you're seeking, pray with others. If you have to, fast. But get his approval to participate. Now, his spirit would also imply that it is not, let me repeat that, folks, it is not evil activity. If you cannot take your pastor, your mama, or the Holy Spirit with you to these group meetings, then you should question the covering of the group. Example, the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. That one's obvious. A skinhead meeting. That one's obvious. How about a meeting where there are lewd things as part of the meeting, where there is sexual promiscuity, sexual activity, horrible behavior, anti-God language and communication? Let me just go ahead and spare you the praying and the fasting. If you have that kind of activity in the meeting, God's not covering it. His spirit is not covering it. Some things are pretty obvious. So use discernment, folks. Now, look at the next part. But not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. What does that mean? It means that if what you're doing does not have God's covering or counsel, then you're going to have the wrong participants involved in that. And there's going to be an absence of biblical statutes. There's going to be an absence of biblical fortitude. There's going to be an absence of a desire to keep it holy and righteous. And if all these things are absent, my friends, they will add sin to sin. They're going to cause stumbling. You will stumble in this activity. And also, let me say this. If obvious sin is taking place in this activity, then it's flat out wrong. There's nothing to pray about. It's wrong, and you shouldn't be a part of it. I wonder if wives are looking at their husbands right now, saying, "See, hon, I told ya." And likewise, I wonder if husbands are looking at their wives and saying the same thing.
"See, Marge, told you you shouldn't be doing that."
Let me also say this, folks. A patriot group or a militia group that hurts the innocent is wrong. Or if they get radical and make threats or plans to hurt the innocent, it is wrong. If a group talks about, when it all comes down, we're going to attack all the cops in town, folks, that's just plain wrong and it's foolish. And I'll say that. I'm saying that as Nathan the Watchman, as Nathan, a minister of God, I'm saying that that's wrong. You do not need to be participating in things that add sin to sin, that God does not endorse. The Bible says that we should be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Wisdom, my friends. Use wisdom that comes from God. Now, I don't want to limit what I'm talking about to just extracurricular activities. It could be anything robbing your commitment to God. A lot of things could qualify under verse 1. How about a gun club? A biker club? A recreational club? How about just hanging out with guys or gals regularly?
Well, we do it every Friday night. They're just from work.
Here's the question, though. Do they add sin to sin? Are they covered with the covering of God? Is there an absence of God's Spirit there?
Well, it's a ministry opportunity, Nathan. That's why I go.
Really? So how many souls have you won there? How often do you share the gospel when you're there? Is it a poker night? Do you go there and hang out and play poker every Friday night? And it makes your wife mad? Spending the family's money? Gambling? Let's talk about some of the obvious ones. Hanging out at the tavern or the pub or the sports bar with your buddies. Folks, it could be anything that adds sin to sin. But if it is adding sin to sin, it is a stumbling block. Now here's another one that I'm going to say. Now I imagine some of you folks are going to get mad with what I'm about to say. Are you ready? Here goes. Maybe this ungodly covering that adds sin to sin is that annual trip to the biker Sturgis rally.
What's that, Nathan?
Well, the Sturgis rally is a motorcycle gathering where every biker in the world shows up in Sturgis, South Dakota. And I've heard so many men say,
well, I go there to minister.
So in fairness, I'm not talking to those who legitimately go down there to minister. Because most men who call themselves Christians who go down to the Sturgis rally are not ministering. They're instead looking.
What do you mean, Nathan?
This is what I mean. And I'm going to tell the truth, folks. One reason men like going to the Sturgis rally is because their flesh likes it. All of them biker babes riding around town on Harleys only wearing thongs. That's it. Topless. Now, tell me the truth, folks. Is that the covering of God to be participating in something like that? But so many men go there and do it, and they call themselves Christians. Also, tell the truth, men. For some of you, your Harley is your idol. And Sturgis is a religious gathering for the flesh. And my friends, these kinds of things are what I'm talking about. Look at verse 2. Look what it says right there. That walked to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Now, some people are saying amen. Some people are saying, oh my, and some of you are already typing your hate mail. And by the way, let me say, if that's you, go ahead and save it. Because folks, I'm not here to patty cake and approve those that want to justify their pansy Christianity, where everything is allowed. My friends, my Bible says, therefore come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. And then I will receive you unto myself and I will be your God and you will be my people. For too long today's churches have whitewashed every act under the sun and made it okay. And now we have the embarrassment of a tattooed pirate showing up at a church and calling himself a minister and being received by many as the voice of God. a huge fail, folks. And for too long, today's church has erected the pyramids and idols of Egypt and brought them into the building. And now, let me say this, God's tired of it. And to those that admire and trust and mimic Egypt, which, by the way, means the world, this passage says, woe to them. The way of Egypt is the world, and it is the polar opposite of the way of God. The way of Egypt is the spirit of the world, and God tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But look at verse 2, folks. They strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Now, God's talking to His people right here. And it is no different today. Christians have no business receiving their strength and the strength of the world. The end of verse 2, it says, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Christians, the people of God, trusting in a shadow, but it's not the shadow of God. Psalms 91 says we should be under the shadow of God's wings. But unfortunately, most Christians are not doing that. I'm pretty sure most Christians listening to me would say, I'm not doing that. I'm not under the shadow of Egypt. Well, I hope not, my friends. But those that want to be hidden in God need to know this. Today, God is drawing a line in the sand. And either you are willing to separate yourself from Egypt, or you will not. But you can't have both. Carrying your cross does not mean you get to go have a men's breakfast at Hooters. And it's the same for you, ladies. Becoming desperate for God does not mean that you are parked in front of your flat screen watching Desperate Housewives. This is some hard preaching, folks. And I gotta say amen to this preaching. Because the people of God need to hear preaching from the Word of God. They need to hear the Word of truth, not the Word of lies and words that tickle their ears and keep them in captivity. Verse 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your what? Your glory? Something you're proud of? Something you frame and put on the wall? No. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. To trust in the wrong shadow brings confusion, my friends. To have the strength of Pharaoh, what is it? It's the strength from Egypt. It is the spirit of Egypt. And to have its strength is shameful. It says it right there, folks. Shameful. And trusting it causes confusion. And by the way, here's a good barometer. Here's a question. Do you find yourself confused at times? Confused at what to do? Confused what to believe? Where to go? If so, then possibly you are trusting in the things of this world, in Egypt. Trusting in the strength of this world creates confusion.
Like what, Nathan?
Well, it could be anything or many things. It could be Pharaoh himself. Trusting in him. It could be trusting your government. If you trust in Pharaoh's words, let me rephrase that. If you trust in Obama's words, you really put your future trust in those words. According to this passage, folks, woe unto you. Why? Because Romans 3 verse 4 says that God is true, but let every man be a liar. Every man's a liar, folks. The way of man, the way of sin, the way of the sin nature is to lie. The God of this world is a liar. And if you place your trust in man, you're going to be lied to. The only one that you should be trusting is God Almighty. That means that every word that I say needs to conform to the Word of God, not my opinion. And if it is my opinion, I need to say it's my opinion. Folks, nobody gets a free pass. That includes your government. And if you trust in the strength of Pharaoh, you are going to be disappointed. This world does have the appearance of strength. It has facets like a diamond that glimmer and create a false hope. This world is able to be very alluring, but that is why you need to have the scripture to weigh it against. And what is all this splendor of the world? What is the strength of Pharaoh that tempts so much? Well, it is the wealth and the splendor of Egypt, or it is the wealth and splendor of America, or your own country that can be so tempting and alluring. And some of you think your nation will not let you down, and you don't want to get ready. You don't want to wake up because you believe that your government would not let you down. My friends, $13 trillion was given to the bankers of America and the world while Americans starved. Almost 40 million Americans are on food stamps now, but $13 trillion was given to the bankers. My friends, this world's riches, America's riches, have been stolen, hijacked, and sold to the highest bidder. And what's your part of the treasure chest? If you want to really believe that they're going to give you a treasure, here's what you get out of the treasure chest, my friend. A promissory note saying debt and bankruptcy. The shadow of Egypt is deceptive. It is hypnotizing and it's intoxicating. But there are so many that trust in the strength that is powered by the fame of Egypt. You know, folks, people love to boast. They won't worship God, but they sure will worship one another. And people will say, I know Pharaoh. I know Pharaoh's friend.
Nathan, who's Pharaoh?
Politicians, celebrities, wealthy businessmen or wealthy businesswomen. And there are so many people that should be getting their house in order. To some, it's more fun to hang out with that powerful or famous one. Now, if that is you, my friend, please know this. Placing trust in man's glory is vain and it will fail you. Folks, some of you are goofing off, but I want you to know that you cannot party forever. Some of you need to hear this. By the way, I want to say this. If you happen to be famous, please listen to this. Placing trust in man's glory is vain. Man's glory will flee away. Vitality will flee away. It will fade. Popularity will fade. Remember the stars from the 20s and the 30s and the 40s? Can you name some of them? Do you really care what they're doing right now? You know, those people thought back then that they would never fade. What about the famous people of the 50s or the 60s? They were on top of the world. It will never end, they thought. And how many sold their soul to attain their fame and wealth? And here's the question. Where are they now? Do you care? Most likely you don't, unless you're them. And if you are one of them, you know that fame fades. How many people live their lives and they look back and say, boy, that was fast. How did I get here so quick? Life is a vapor, my friends. Egypt deceives and says that it will last forever and continue even into a new life. But the reality is the glory will fade. Isaiah chapter 30, I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. My friends, Egypt always wants to lie when it comes to spiritual things. Folks, there is truth and there is a counterfeit. Religion and the afterlife are not an equal opportunity. And it's so amazing that Americans are brainwashed to think that we are free to worship any way we want and it does not matter because we're free. Well, here's the truth, my friends. It does matter. There are false religions. There are false deities. There are false beliefs based on false hopes. And all roads do not, let me repeat that, all roads do not lead to the same place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Period. And today's Americans and Westerners have this mentality that they can cheat at anything and still make it, including heaven. But folks, here's the truth. There is no back door to heaven to sneak into. You can't make bootleg invitations to heaven and use them. There's no hacking into heaven. The spirit of Egypt lies and is false. And it tries to mimic its way to heaven. It tries to make false promises to heaven. And this includes Eastern religions, Taoism, Buddha, Hinduism, and any other of those Eastern mystical isms. The spirit of Egypt lies. And it patty cakes religion into a mystical destination, but it leaves out a major point. It leaves out the reality of how to deal with your sin and the stains of sin. It leaves out how to deal with the mire and the result of sin, the putridness of sin, the darkness of sin. My friends, sin is real. Sin is that little particle, so small, but at the same time, so debilitating and so able to infect hearts and memories and emotions of every human alive. Sin
is so catapulting. It is so visible in the streets. And sin is painted on the faces of most young people today. And on young adults, middle-aged, and old people. And surprisingly, sin is so ignored. The spirit of Egypt ignores sin. And in fact, it glorifies sin. Here in America and throughout the world, sin is celebrated and encouraged. Sin is made into Hollywood productions. Sin is displayed on films and on the stage. It is marveled in the progressive arts, and it's available on billboards and on your computer. And the one individual that talked about sin, that dealt with sin, and that died for sin is the Creator, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And He's the one that can erase your sin. Even though He's the only one to get rid of sin, He is the one that this world hates and mocks and scoffs and ignores. Are all ways just as good to get to heaven? All of those counterfeits, they will leave you, every one of them, in one condition: empty and unfulfilled and still harboring sin. And now there are many imposters in Christianity. Isaiah 30 verse 10 said, "See not," and they said to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." And in many pulpits all over America and Canada and Europe and Australia, and now even in Asia and South America, we have many imposters involved in Christianity prophesying smooth things and only right things. I talk a lot about ministers that I believe have dropped the ball. And why do I do that? Because today there is one main message that we all need to be hearing. So many of those ministers on pulpits, they will not tell the truth. And they will not talk about repentance. They will not talk about the stains of sin. And since they don't talk about it, most Christians today are harboring sin. And let me tell you, sin is heavy. It drains you. And all those false preachers out there, instead of encouraging people to lighten their sin load, most of today's big preachers are focused on silly things. How to be happy. How to be successful. How to be sexy. How to be happy. How to be rich. How to be happy. How to get material gain. Job promotion. How to be happy. My friends, you cannot be happy when there is sticky, rotten, disgusting, contaminated sin inside of your heart. Period. Verse 9 says, "These children are rebellious and they lie and they do not want to hear the law of the Lord." It was when Moses stood before Pharaoh and he performed the miracles with the power of God that God had him do. Pharaoh also had his magicians who showed up and were able to mimic some of the miracles. These were frauds. These were false prophets. These were corrupt men who were enemies of God. And in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, Paul mentions those false ministers that hassled Moses. In verse 8 it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith." So what Paul is saying is that spirit of Egypt, that spirit of deception and lies that was in Egypt with Moses, still is with us today. So today we have Jannes and Jambres, imposters, frauds, who get behind pulpits and they hassle the people of God because they mimic false miracles and they misdirect and they misinform. And here's the number one thing that they do, folks. If you want to know if you should be listening to a preacher, here's the test. Do they ignore sin and repentance? That's the test. Do they talk about it? Do they plead with the people to get washed of their sin? Do they plead with the people to go to the cross? Do they plead with the people to cherish their cross? Do they plead with the people to fall down before the living God and say, "Woe is me, God, I am undone"? When a person ignores sin, they will stay in captivity. When a person ignores sin, they will stay unfed. and they will be malnourished. When a person ignores sin, they will be desolate and unresponsive to the Spirit of God. And when a person ignores sin, they will be unprotected by God. My friends, to have the wrong counsel and the wrong covering, the result is woe, a great woe from the living God. So what is the answer? What is the remedy to this mess? My friends, there is a remedy. It's the same remedy that I talk about over and over in these messages. In verse 15 of Isaiah chapter 30, please go there. Isaiah 30, 15, God gives the remedy right here. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But it gets sad, folks. Look what it says. And you would not. God said to return to Him. To all those that are away from Him, He says it's simple. Just return. Return and have rest, and you'll be saved. God also says, in quietness, how does one have quietness before God? They wait on God. So the answer is to rest and wait on God. That happens one way, my friends, in your prayer closet, on your knees, crying out to God, praying to God, waiting on Him. To prepare for what's coming, we have to get back to the basics. What did Jesus say in Revelation? Return to your first love and do the things that you first did. My friends, we must all learn how to wait on God. We must all be challenged to wait on God. Why? Because there is great power, great strength to those that would wait on God. There is peace. There is resolve. There is renewing. There is refreshing to those that will wait on God. But instead, so many refuse to do it. And instead, they waste their time and they pine away. But folks, that's the lie of the spirit of Egypt that tries to keep you away from your chamber. In Isaiah 64, verse 4, it says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor have they perceived by their ears, neither hath the eye seen. Eyes have not seen, O God, beside Thee, what You have prepared for him that waits for Him." Isaiah said, "God, we have no idea what You have prepared for those that wait on You." God wants us to wait on Him. Because those that do not learn to wait on Him will not be strengthened. And you do not want the woe of God to be pronounced on you. And those of us that do not wait and learn how to seek God are going to be mired and clothed in their filthy rags. So many are dressed in iniquity, folks. And to the world, it's no big deal. But to God, those in iniquity and unresolved sin, those that are unrepentant will be carried away like a fading leaf in the wind. My friends, the spirit of Egypt will keep you from dealing with sin. It'll try and try to keep you from doing it. And if you allow it, then the result is you will wade through the mud of sin's harvest. And so many people, so many blind ones see God as a little dashboard idol. But here's the truth, my friends. When God shows up in His true form, the heavens are split in two. Nothing can stand before Him. The tall mountains are liquefied and flow down in His presence. The waters of the entire ocean would boil in His visitation. In God's true form, the land of the earth would quake and tremble and be as dust before His eyes. The power of God is mighty. And in His hour, the mighty towers of man fall to the ground. God is powerful, my friends. And the strength of man is like one grain of dust in His hand. We serve a mighty God. And He reveals His mighty arm with thunders and lightnings on His sleeve. And in this late hour, God is seeking. He's searching and He's marking those that are His. And I ask, which of you that are listening are stirred by these words? Are there any that would say, "My eyes have been dry long enough. My throat has been parched and thirsty for God for too long"? Who will say, "My heart will be empty and stained no more"? My friends, it is time for all of us to stir up our hearts with cries to the God of heaven. With cries that say, "God, cleanse me. Fill me. God, have mercy on me." And as the thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me in your paradise." And I have this to ask, my friends. If you were to say that to Jesus, Jesus, remember me, would he answer? And would he say, remember you? But will you remember me? Would Jesus say that to you? Would Jesus say, will you remember me when you're at work? Will you remember me when you're with your friends? Will you remember me when you go to those places that you have no business going? Please know and heed this warning. Egypt will destroy. Egypt has no mercy. Egypt takes and it does not return. Egypt will deceive and it will wear a mask. Egypt has a cost, but it hides its price. Egypt will not protect you. The walls of Egypt will fall. Its fortresses will tumble. Egypt has the pride of man, but it also oppresses all of its arrogant ones. Egypt will torment souls, and it will promise reward, but it feeds with thorns. Folks, flee from Egypt. There is a supper waiting for those of you who forsake its lies and escape its death. And that supper is a table prepared by our God. When I was praying, preparing for this message, God gave me a word, and I'm going to read it right now. In His presence, His glory and His majesty is shown, because He dwells in the heights above the clouds. He dwells in holiness. His strength melts mountains. And who can stand before the Lord God Almighty? The haughty and the proud are as nothing. The kings and the princes are fleeting. Their power and their glory flows away like a river, and their strength vanishes like a vapor. The riches of this earth are as nothing to Almighty God. The fortresses of the haughty and the proud, and the princes and the kings are going to tumble and fall. The boast of the wicked is a fading flower. Who can stand before the Lord? Who can bow in His presence? The humbled hearts can. Those that find His mercy. Those that see their own vanity. Those that surrender their earthly strength. Those that forsake their earthly boast. In His presence, we are all undone. In His presence, we offer up a song of solemn sorrow. Cleanse us, God. Receive us. Renew us, God, and restore us. May our boasts in ourself and may our pride be consumed in your fire. Let us have moments with you. And when we do, awaken our hearts. With your refiner's fire, burn out the dross. Awake our dull eyes. Remove our blindness to see your glory and the steps that we have before us. Help us, God. Help the remnant to discover your majesty, your power, your holiness, and your righteousness. Remember us, O God, as you build your kingdom. Amen and amen.